so much. Today we'll be in the book of Matthew once again, and we actually got through the Sermon on the Mount. So I've been saying the last 3 or 4 weeks, and this is almost the end. This is truly the end. Let me read the scripture to you. It comes out of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Jesus had just finished the message that we have been going over. It didn't take him about 4 months as it has for us. But this is what he says. And when they came down to the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And then Jesus said, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift of Moses that Moses commanded, as it is a testimony to them." Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts today. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you that you are a Lord who tells us how to live, and we make it so hard sometimes. For the next few moments, Lord, I ask that my meditations would be pleasing to you, and I would become less, and you would become more, and that we would leave here today knowing who you are, that you are the God that notices everything, and you are not God at a distance. But you know our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our minds, and our circumstances. Would you remind us of this truth as we walk before you? Thank you for what you're going to do ahead of time. May you be glorified here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. To be honest with you, as you look at this passage, for some of you here today, this is an encouraging passage. It talks about healing. It talks about hope. It talks about God stepping into your circumstances in a great and mighty way. You hear this message and you sort of have that sense of expectation that God is able to do great and glorious things. For others of you, you listen to this word of God, and that isn't joy that comes to your mind. It's discouragement, it's anger, it's frustration, because you have asked God to step in, and you have prayed over and over again, and your loved ones have died, the cancer has continued, the circumstance doesn't seem to have changed, and so when you hear a message that deals with any sense of healing, there's just an upsetness, and even now you're shutting off and drifting off into tomorrow, or when the Steelers play this afternoon. For some of you, you may be sitting there and you have little expectation whatsoever. It is so much easier not to expect God to work, isn't it, sometimes? It's sort of easier just to live your own life and every so often look up and notice God is there, but not let him challenge or change you. So as you look at this passage today, I'm going to ask you to look in a very different way than you normally do, because first of all, this passage isn't simply about healing. This passage is about giving Jesus credit and really a certification of who he was. He has just preached this amazing message on what it is to follow after God and what redemption looks like and what salvation looks like. And he has claimed that he is the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord that everyone has been waiting for. And so as he walks off this mountainside, he has put himself in a place where he has to literally show himself to be the Messiah that people have been waiting for. He has to show his authority, and the most easiest way to do that in this circumstance was literally, there are the next 3 healings that take place. And so he is literally letting everyone know that his kingdom is breaking into the real time in which they live in. Jesus' faith is a real world type of situation. So I want to encourage you to see beyond the healing today and realize that Jesus is first and foremost dealing with a person and what that person is going through. But I also want you to take a little bit of time and notice. Jesus has a tremendously powerful sense of humor. He actually knows exactly what is going on. And I'll just fill you in now, because we'll be talking about it in the next few weeks. If I were to begin my day as a Jew in Jesus' day, this would be my prayer every single morning. My feet would hit the floor and I'd say, "Oh Lord God Almighty, thank you that I am not a Gentile. Thank you that I'm not a woman. And thank you that I'm not a slave." I mean, how many of you men would feel comfortable saying that prayer each morning in front of your family and wife and kids? That was literally how the Jews of those days got up and worshiped God and praised God. And isn't it interesting that the first miracles that Jesus does deals with a slave, a woman, and a Gentile? He's opening up people's hearts and minds to a new reality. Also, I think if you're like most of us sitting here today, you sort of sometimes have this image that God is at a distance, not really noticing what's going on. We live with this idea that he may glance every so often at you, but he doesn't understand what's going on in your life. In fact, you often wonder, where is he in the midst of these things? And yet we see an image of a creator and a Messiah that knows exactly what is taking place. So let's jump into the narrative one more time. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds were following him. Can you imagine that scene? They've just heard this message. They're excited about what's going on. But there also were large crowds that simply because it was something to do, and Jesus was new and exciting, and it was a message that challenged them and changed them. So they're wandering around with him at this point. And it says, a man with leprosy came down and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately he was cured of leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, see to it that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. See, one of the things I know is that for some of you, you're sitting there and you've heard this story before. Some of you have lived long enough to know what flannel graphs they are, and you remember that felt board and the figures that talk about the healing of the man with leprosy. But let me stop right here, because for some of us, all you're thinking is, oh, this guy is sick. In fact, the rest of the sermon may be blah, 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 blah. But I want you to realize what was going on. This was a tremendously huge deal in Jesus' day. It isn't like us. Many of us have walked through hospitals before. We've gone overseas and we've seen the brokenness of people in third world settings. But see, I don't think we grasp the cultural context. In Jesus' day, a person with leprosy, literally, that was pretty much the worst thing that you could have. Culturally, it was a sentence that was assumed and passed. If you had leprosy in Jesus' day, you would never find yourself sitting in a sanctuary. You would never even be allowed through the doors of this building. People would fear you. They hated you. They were disgusted by you. In fact, in Jesus' day, if you want to go back and look through the rabbinic law, they have writings of rabbis saying, when a person with leprosy comes before you, it's okay to throw rocks and sticks. In fact, they literally had customs that said how many feet you could come into contact with someone, and you never came in contact with them. But if a person with leprosy, they could maybe be 10 or 15 feet away from you. If they came any closer, you needed to take some recourse. In fact, if some of you, hunting season is starting, how many of you know what it is to be downwind of something? Okay, two of you, that's good. We need to work on this maybe. But anyway, downwind literally meant that if you had leprosy and you were walking into a town or walking into a path and the wind shifted, imagine this, the wind shifted and started to blow into people who didn't have leprosy, you had to be at least 100, if not more, 100 feet away, if not more. And it was perfectly acceptable to throw rocks and sticks and make sure it didn't happen. You imagine that in our day and age, what that would look like? How many of you, if you found yourself in a place of having leprosy, would suddenly realize that you no longer had any contact with your children? Your spouse would kick you out of the house. You would be thrown outside of the village. You were literally an outcast within your community. You lived in the woods or in a shack or in a tent or in a cave. But you no longer had family that could intervene on your behalf. You were pushed out of all human contact and mercy and grace. And then on top of all of those things that would have taken place for someone who has leprosy, there was also the idea that God must be really ticked off at you to allow it to come and affect your heart and mind and body and soul. They literally believed that you had some sin in your life, and this was the consequence of that sin. Can you imagine that? Just think for a few moments. Use your imaginations. You wake up one day, and you have this little white spot on your arm or your hand, and suddenly it begins to grow. you would go to the priest and they would look at you and they'd separate you for a couple of weeks, and if it continued to grow, they would cast you out. And that was done. There was no going home after that point. Well, what would you do if that happened to you, seriously? I mean, for some of you, you'd go, I don't care, I'm going to go live in a cave, right? That's sort of what you think about that type of thing. But it goes a little bit farther than that, because one of the rules of the day, this would probably be worse than being cast out of the community. If you had leprosy in Jesus' day, anywhere you went, if you saw people, you had to say these words, unclean. I know if it were me, you know, at the beginning of that terrible disease, you'd probably wrap yourself up and close your, and you'd sort of say unclean, you know, sort of quietly. But the idea that over the years, if you met people and they came close to you, literally the requirement of you is to yell out day after day after day after day after day, unclean, unclean. Imagine going into Sheets and starting saying something like that. Imagine at the Walmart, you're going through the checkout and you notice there's someone within 10 feet of you and you have to yell, unclean, 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 over and over and over again. Do you see what was going on in Jesus' day? I mean, I just imagine the scene. It just wasn't that you were sick. You were unclean. Have you ever thought for a few moments, if you had to say that for a period of months or years or for the rest of your life, the mental damage that was going on, let alone the physical damage? Can you imagine being unclean? Do you think that would sort of begin to captivate your own imagination about who you were as a person? Did I do something wrong? Where have I sinned? I mean, every single day getting up, and maybe you're at that little stream and your face is reflected in the water and you think, I am unclean. I'm filth. I'm not even worth being spoken to. I mean, talk about the mental anguish that was going on there. Everything that you'd see came through the lens of leprosy. You would think about those family occasions and the birthdays and the memorial times and the celebrations and the Sabbath days, and you'd know it was no longer available for you. So that's what's going on. They came down the mountainside and a man with leprosy came. You can almost see the edge of the crowd beginning to yell or throw some stones or yell at him or tell him to get away. And yet it says that this leper continues to walk. Have you ever thought about what must that have been like? You can imagine the Red Sea parting. Imagine a man with leprosy milling through these crowds and beginning to say unclean. Do you think there was any worry about how the crowd would move? It's away. And this man, filled with leprosy, maybe some fingers are gone, or the nose is gone, or the ears are gone, because interestingly enough, the reason why you lose your fingers or your toes or your hands when you have leprosy isn't because they simply fall off. It is literally because you have no pain receptors. When you have a lock on the door and you twist it and turn it, you don't realize that your fingers are being pulled or torn or cut off simply because you don't feel any pain. That piece of meat falls into the fire and you reach right into the fire. You can imagine this. He comes before Jesus and it says he kneels down. I mean, just use your imagination for just a couple of seconds. And I've never really noticed the words before, but it says there in verse 2, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I mean, this guy had some spiritual depth. He wasn't demanding that God move. He was literally recognizing Jesus' authority in the realm of all things. And he humbly submits to him, Lord God Almighty, Lord, if you're willing. No demands there, just asking for some compassion. Notice the title he's using. Lord wasn't just simply like an easygoing thing. It was literally someone who recognized power and authority and strength. But go even farther than that, and maybe you've never noticed those words before. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, Lord, you heal me from this leprosy. He doesn't say, Lord, just tell the leprosy to go away. I mean, I think that's what you and I would have asked for. But he looks at the Lord and says, Lord, make me clean. See, I think there was far more at stake than just the healing of his body. And then notice how Jesus responds to this. Remember, Jesus was an amazing Jewish person. He had kept the law. He had dealt with circumstances and situations. All of those thoughts may have been running through the crowd's eyes. What is he going to do now? He's told us all about what it is to be a follower of his. He's told us to be kind and compassionate. He's told us to live with mercy. He's told us what we're to do with people like him. Can you imagine what must have been going on in that crowd? Everyone is sort of watching and waiting and seeing and probably backing up a few steps or maybe 100 feet or so and wondering what Jesus is going to do with that mess of a person. Notice what he does. It doesn't say in the scripture when this man with leprosy came before him and knelt at his feet that he sort of stepped back just a little bit. It doesn't say that he moves away and goes, okay, let me get 100 feet away before I take care of this one. It doesn't say any of that, does it? What does it say? You are unclean. Yep, you got leprosy. You must have done some terrible sin here. You're just sort of living with what God wants you to live. If you would straighten up your life, you wouldn't have even been in this circumstance or situation. Is that what he does? Or what if it was nowadays? How many of you have been to the hospital with someone with the infectious diseases and they have that little rack and it's either a little blue paper outfit or a little yellow paper outfit and you put it on and you figure it all out and you try to tie it and it never works and then you take those gloves that are medium small and they don't fit anybody's hands and you sort of mush them on and snap them each way and then you come in and say, hey, let me have prayer with you at a distance, right? Do you think they heard the rubber gloves snap when Jesus was talking to this man? It says here that Jesus does an amazing thing. It says he reached out his hand and touched the man. Have you ever thought of that scene? Can you imagine that leper on his knees and all of a sudden it's been years since anyone touched him at all and Jesus reaches out his hand? Do you think he sort of flinched back a little bit because he thought maybe Jesus was taking a swing? Do you? I think that's the way it would have happened. I can remember when I was a little kid, and this sort of tells you a little bit about my mom, but she had this theory if we did something bad or talked back, and she would every so often, you know, just do a little cuff on the side of the head. If we flinched, that proved we were guilty. She was tough. I mean, it was just like, it's mom, it's a normal reaction. Something's coming toward you. Do you think the guy pulled back? It says, everything in the culture said that you push this man away and Jesus reaches out his hand and touches this man. I don't know if he maybe touched him on the side of the cheek or put his hand on his shoulder or simply put his hand on top of his head. The crowd would have been shocked at this behavior. They would have stood utterly quiet because everything he was doing was wrong. And then you hear these simple words. And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man and he said, I am willing. Be clean. Does any of that sort of capture your imagination for just a few seconds? He doesn't say, leprosy, go away. He doesn't say, you know what, you're healed now. He says, because he noticed and observed and understood that the most important thing that this man could ever deal with is the idea of being clean. Did you ever think that next morning when he got out of bed or when he had just finished his breakfast, whatever it may have been, and he stands up and he looks and people are there and the first thing out of his mouth would have been unclean. And then he goes, wait a minute, Jesus said, I'm clean. He said, I'm clean. From the top of my head to the tips of my feet to the whatever the, you know, everything is clean. Not only my body, but my mind and my heart and my soul have been changed. My self-image, I'm no longer unclean. I no longer have to announce that to the whole world. Oh my goodness. Do you realize that Jesus is still about making us clean? It was far more than leprosy going. It was a head-to-toe touch. It was the inside and the out. It was the heart, mind, and soul and body. It was the complete self-image of this man. He is told he is clean. And it isn't a matter of popularity or showing the authority that he has. He simply tells the man to go and meet with the priests and give the right sacrifices and let it be a testimony to them. And as I've been reading through this passage of Scripture this last week over and over again, it's been hitting me that the cleanest of the clean reaches out to the most unclean with an offer of hope and love and compassion and mercy and restoration. Do you realize what was going on in this passage? This man's life was restored far more than just the physical restoration. Do you realize that from that day forward, he could come back into the village? Do you realize that from that day forward, when his child has a birthday, he can actually go and sit at the table and grab that little child and give that child a hug and love and care for that? Do you realize that he could finally walk into the local tavern and sit down with people that just a week ago were throwing rocks at him? Isn't that amazing? We have a God that restores lives. The other thing that strikes me is that do you realize that you can be healed and not be restored? I've met people that have experienced God's healing but haven't experienced the restoration. Other than getting physically well, not a whole lot changes in their hearts and minds. And honestly, nowadays we have a tendency to limit God's work to the body and we think that's the end all to be all. I think sometimes we miss the forest from the trees. And let me tell you today, I have honestly believed in healing. I've seen healing take place. I have seen people filled with cancer come before the elders and be prayed for and go back and have a CAT scan the next day and nothing is on the screen any longer. But the truth is, there are far greater things than physical healing. And maybe we need to adjust our view that we would begin to believe in a God who notices who we are and where we are at and understands that we need more than a physical touch. Every one of us here needs to hear the words, be clean. Maybe we begin to understand that the presence of God in the midst of our everyday circumstances is far greater than the physical touch that we often look for or want beyond anything else. I can remember a number of years ago, there was a guy in our church, Joyce is here, she knows Haywood, an amazing guy. She worked for him for a little work. He had an appraising company, very successful, ended up with cancer. I can still remember the day the cancer, you know, he came in, he said, Pastor, I have cancer. And it was one of those situations where, again, we gathered around him and prayed, and that was one of those, it's gone. It's gone. I think it was 4 or 5 years later. He comes back and says the cancer is all over. We prayed for him this time and nothing happened. But I can still remember his wife coming to me at the funeral and saying, Pastor, I want you to know that there is more than physical healing that took place. Jesus restored my husband's heart and soul, even in the midst of suffering. So how do we respond to this one today? How do we begin to work through this process of understanding who Jesus is and what he's like? See, I know that there's some of us here that we were followers of Christ and we've said a prayer and we live good moral lives, but we don't really live with the expectation that God is willing to be involved. And yet we see this example after example after example that Jesus is willing to come face to face with us. That we have a Savior that's willing to touch us and hold us close. We have a Savior that continually tells us, I just wish you would begin to understand that through the cross and through my redemption and the salvation that I offered you, you are clean. I just long for a people that would begin to hear that and believe that you're clean. Because I run into more and more followers of Christ that don't believe that sentiment. I was texting back and forth with a person this last week. And I just texted. I said, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you today. And the text came back, it has been so long since I've prayed, I don't know if I can go back. See, he doesn't believe that he is a Savior that says, you're clean. He believes he has a Savior that has seen the way he's messed up his life, for lack of a better word. Destroyed so many different relationships, lost his job and his income and his retirement and living in a tiny little apartment. Broken, but he can't imagine a Savior that notices him and says, I want you to understand that you're clean because of what I have done and who I am. See, my hope today isn't that you jump on to healing. My hope today is that you'll begin to see God's heart. I hope you begin to see that no matter where you find yourself, God draws close to our situations. See, he isn't afraid, and he isn't overwhelmed to step into the mess. And yet so many followers of Christ that I know still live like lepers. But I want you to walk away by realizing that Jesus still says, I am willing. Do you recognize that? Do you know that person that's still struggling with addictions? And think God has forgotten him and it must not be working, or if I only prayed a little bit harder. No, you tell him about a Jesus that says, I'm willing. Do you know that person that just cannot imagine that their life could ever be considered clean again? Can you tell him about the Jesus in Matthew 8, that he still declares us to be clean and he still cures lives? See, I'm not sure what you've carried in today, but I know God still works. So maybe it's a physical healing that you need. Maybe it's an emotional thing that you have carried regret or upsetness or bitterness for years and years and years, and you don't even know how you can forgive at this point. Maybe it's a mental thing, or maybe it's a soul issue. It doesn't matter how many times people have told you you're okay, that the voice is in your head and that when you look in the mirror, it never comes out be clean. It means I'm not done, I'm not finished, I'm not good enough, this can never work. Maybe it's simply a belief issue that you can't comprehend what God longs to do in your hearts and in your minds and in your lives this day. That you could ever be clean, and yet this is what Jesus says. Realize that God is willing and that he's able. And I would challenge you this morning that maybe this is a time that you would be willing to just simply use the leper's words. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And see if you don't experience the touch of God in your heart, soul, mind, and body. And see if Jesus won't meet with you this morning in a wonderful and powerful way. Let's pray. Father, I come before you today and I recognize that for those of us who have had leprosy, at least in this room, figuratively speaking, we stand in awe of what you said you would do. When we have messed up our lives to the point where we see no hope in the future, and yet you are a God who steps in, not a God at a distance, but you come before us and you reach out not to slap us upside of the head, but to restore our hearts and our minds and our bodies, and most importantly, I believe, our souls. And Father, today I'm asking that all of us who have walked through these doors, if they are at that place where they can't imagine that you would notice what they're going through, would you remind them of what the scripture says that Jesus noticed? Would you remind us that Jesus listened to the man's words? He said, I wanted to be clean. He didn't say, I want this leprosy to be taken off him. Yet he understood that that was part of what was Jesus was going to do. And so, Father, we come and I'm asking that you would show yourself, that you would manifest yourself in our hearts and our minds and our spirits in such a way that we will leave here today with a new title. And that we would share that title with our friends and family members who have never heard of a God who comes up close and reaches out a hand and says, I'm willing, be clean. Father, would you give us that opportunity to share that testimony? For those of us who are sitting here like that text I got this week, I don't think I know how to get back. Would you remind us it's a simple conversation? God, I'm here. I don't think you're willing. But could you show up? Could you take care of this? Could you restore my life? Lord, I think you're the same as you were then. Would you minister to us today in Jesus' name? Amen.